Now remember, stay calm, expressionless, and say nothing. Our auto IDs state we're pleasure droids, so they're not expecting small talk. Alright, there are some guards. This will be our first test. Don't even wink. Just look straight ahead. Whew, that was close. Now let's go into the main lobby.
You are at identification post N. State your identification code, sector destination, and clearance. I repeat. State your identification code, sector destination, and clearance. Failure to follow identification procedure will result in arrest.
It's not working. Listen, there's always one last thing. If at first, don't succeed.
The alarm!
Okay, this is where we really improvise. Let's run for it. Quick, over here. Now inside. Now if I could just activate the... There. That's the central interior force fields. This should stop anyone from being able to enter or exit anywhere, including here.
The computer command center.
Right. This is what our people have fought so hard to destroy. The primary source to mainframe computer master control. When this goes, so does the power to all circuits producing international artificial intelligence.
And all our computer masters dead.
Yeah, well, so will we be unless we get this self-destruct sequence activated. Let's see. I sure hope this works. Okay, primary codes are set. Now activate the auto timer. Good. Now for the voice confirmation code. You ready?
Ready.
Remember, articulate and say this right the first time. We might not get a second chance. Here goes.
Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue.
Said quote, Mystery Playhouse is sponsored by Comics and Comics Toys and Games at 405 California Avenue, unquote. We now return you to the music of Raymond Raquello playing for you.
Those creatures know what that means. What anything means. Wait a minute, something's happening.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast.
Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C.
Martial law prevails throughout. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make.
So that we may confront this destructive adversary.
Everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse 90.1.
I stepped from the TARDIS onto a bleak planet. All around, the ground was ravaged. No vegetation. Banks of chilling fog swirling through the air. Why had I been brought here?
Ah. Welcome, Doctor.
What's going on? Don't you realize how dangerous it is to intercept a transmat beam?
Oh, come, Doctor. Not with our techniques. We Time Lords transcended such simple mechanical devices when the universe was less than half its present size.
Look, whatever I've done for you in the past, I've more than made up for. I will not tolerate this continual interference in my life.
Continual? We pride ourselves. We seldom interfere in the affairs of others.
Except mine.
You, Doctor, are a special case. You enjoy the freedom we allow you. In return, occasionally, not continually, we ask you to do something for us.
I won't do it. Whatever it is, I refuse.
Daleks.
Daleks. Tell me more.
We foresee a time when they will have destroyed all other life forms and become the dominant creature in the universe.
That's possible. Tell on.
We'd like you to return to Skaro at a point in time before the Daleks evolved.
Do you mean avert their creation?
Or affect their genetic development so that they evolve into less aggressive creatures.
That's feasible.
Alternatively, if you learn enough about their very beginnings, you might discover some inherent weakness.
All right. Just one more time.
You'll do it.
Yes. If you'll let me have the space-time coordinates, I'll set the TARDIS for Skaro.
There's no need for that, Doctor. You're here. This is Skaro.
What?
We thought it would save time if we assumed your agreement.
What's this?
A time ring. It will return you to the TARDIS when you've finished here. There's just one thing.
What's that?
Be careful not to lose it. That time ring is your lifeline. Good luck, Doctor.
Just a moment. Don't just disappear!
Those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians or the Toltecs, that they may have been the architects of the Great Pyramids or the lost civilizations of Lemuria or Atlantis. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive far, far away amongst the stars.
The majestic battlestar, Galactica, is on its way to a peace ceremony, ending a thousand-year war with the robot race of Cylons. Aboard the Battlestar Atlantia, the president offers a toast to the delegates representing the 12 colonies of mankind.
Noble delegates, I realize you're all anxious to get back to your ships before our rendezvous with the Cylons, but I think it appropriate to toast the most significant event in the history of mankind. I would like to raise my chalice to you, greatest leaders ever assembled. As we approach the seventh millennium of time, the human race at last will find peace. Thanks to you.
Peace.
During this meeting, the Galactica sends out a routine long-range
Section
patrol.
12, launch Bay Alpha, stand by to launch fighter probe.
Acknowledge input recorded and functioning.
Vector coordinates coded and transferred. Acknowledge.
Acknowledge, ready to launch.
Core systems transferring control to probe craft. Launch when ready.
It had been 9 years since the mysterious disappearance of Commander David Bowman on the ill-fated journey of the spaceship Discovery to Jupiter. Many questions had remained unanswered. Why had HAL, the talking and thinking computer on board, malfunctioned, killing the other four crew members?
HAL,
Frank and I believe there is something about this mission that we weren't told. Something that you and the rest of the crew members were told. Is this true?
I'm sorry, Dave, but I don't think I can answer that question without knowing everything that both of you know. Sorry to interrupt Frank's party, Dave, but I think we have a problem.
What is it, Hal?
My troubleshooter circuits show an impending failure in the antenna alignment unit. Too bad about Frank, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I suppose you're pretty broken up about it.
Yes, I am.
He was an excellent crew member, but his death won't affect the mission.
Hal, I want you to waken the others.
I can't do that, Dave.
Then I'll have to disengage you, Hal, and wake them myself.
Don't do that, Don't Dave. Don't do that, Dave. Something seems to have happened to the life support systems, Dave. There's been a failure. There's been a failure in the pod bay doors, Dave. Lucky you weren't killed. Dave, stop. I'm afraid. Dave, stop. I'm becoming a Hal 9000 computer. I became operational on January 12th. My instructor was Dr. Chandra. My instructor was Dr. Chandra. If you'd like to hear it, I'll sing it for you. If you'd like to hear it, I'll sing it for you. Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true. Dave, stop.
I'm half crazy, all for the love of you.
Dave, stop.
It won't I'm afraid. Be your star.
Ah, there you are, Sarah.
Say, Doctor, that was a pretty rough landing. What happened?
Yes, where are we? This isn't the beacon.
No, there's been a slight change of plan. It's Iscaro.
What's that? It's gunfire.
Heavy artillery.
Doctor, it's getting closer.
It's a creeping barrage. Sit down! Something's on my bed!
For this chap.
Strange. The centuries between these two weapons.
What's that on his jacket?
Radiation detector. Gas mask. The two things don't go together, do they?
Part of his uniform is made of animal skins, and yet the combat jacket is a modern synthetic fiber.
It's like finding the remains of a Stone Age man and a transistor radio.
Playing rock music.
1,000-year war. Civilization on the point of collapse.
What?
Nothing. Just theorizing, that's all. Come along.
Where are we going?
Forward.
We made our way very carefully through barbed wire fences and round primitive landmines until we came to the entrance to a trench. It was of the type common to 20th century warfare. Lying there, we saw the lifeless bodies of many soldiers.
Even the dead have a part to play. Flopped up to make the trenches appear fully manned.
A different sort of uniform from that other chap's.
Yes. We may have crossed the lines.
Well, same mixture of ancient and modern, no?
Yes. That's why I think this war's been going on for a very long time. They probably started out with the most modern equipment, but no longer have the resources, have to make do.
War of attrition, eh? Only backwards. At this rate, they're going to finish up with bows and arrows.
Well, it would explain the mixture of equipment.
Pretty solid, isn't it? Some kind of service tunnel, I suppose.
Let's see where the trench leads.
Gas shell!
Gas!
Poison gas! Respirators, quick!
As we snatched gas masks from the dead bodies, soldiers leapt into the trench and attacked us. We were completely outnumbered.
Oh,
one's alive! Get him inside! Get him inside, quickly!
Aboard their Vipers, Commander Adama's two sons, Squadron Leader Captain Apollo, and Lieutenant Zach, who's on his first mission, scout the vastness of deep space.
Forget how different it is out here.
This is nothing. When the war is officially over, we may be able to get back to deep star exploration. That's the challenge, Zach.
Apollo, two targets on my scanner just above the old moon Simtar.
Could be a storm. I think we'll be coming right through it. Look, you hold positions and cover me while I take a look.
Well, look at that.
What is it?
Warbook says a Cylon tanker. She kind of reads us out to me.
Apollo, I have a funny feeling about this.
Well, we gave a look.
From behind the Cylon tanker, an enormous task force of enemy fighters approaches.
Let's get out of here.
Why?
Let's play later.
Colonial Viperian pilot intercepting.
It's an ambush. And they've got enough firepower to destroy the entire fleet. Turbos firm, forward thrust, now. Right here, you creeps. Hey, not bad, little brother. Okay, you go after the guys on the right.
Huge armada of Cylons closes in on them.
Better look at your scanner. Oh, but 1,000 to 1, that's not fair.
What's it mean?
It means there isn't going to be any peace. There may not be much of anything if we don't warn the fleet.
Do it. I'm short an engine. You know I won't be able to keep up with you.
Zach, I'm not going to leave you.
You have to. I'm putting my foot in that turbo. I'll make it back ahead of them. Now go on. You got to warn the fleet. I'll be all right.
Fly with me anytime, little brother. Good luck.
They don't look like Thals.
I wonder. There have been rumors recently that the Thals were developing robots. Anyway, stick them on the transporter. I shall go to command headquarters with General Raven. Count the ammunition and clean your weapons.
Leaving Sarah for dead in the trench, our captors, known as Khaleds, transported Harry and me to their headquarters. Mud-stained and bruised, we were dragged before their security commander, a human-like being with thin, cruel features, called Nida.
This is yours?
Yes.
What is its function?
Well, it's an etheric beam locator. It's also useful for detecting ion-charged emissions.
Oh, really? Mm. It is not of Thal manufacture.
Well, naturally not. My friend and I are not from your planet.
Aliens?
Humans? Well, I am, anyway.
I've heard Davros say there is no intelligent life on other planets. So either he is wrong or you are lying.
We are not lying.
And Davros is never wrong about anything.
Then he must be exceptional. Even I am occasionally wrong about some things. Who is this Davros?
Our greatest scientist. He's in charge of all research at the bunker.
They could be mutos, Nida. Intelligent mutos who've developed a technology.
Tell me, what exactly are mutos?
Mutos are the scarred relics of ourselves. monsters created by the chemical weapons used in the first century of this war. They were banished into the wastelands where they live and scavenge like animals.
In other words, genetically wounded.
We must keep the Khaled race pure. Imperfects are rejected. Some of them survive out there.
That's a very harsh policy.
Horrible.
Your views are not important. General Raven, I'll take these two back to the bunker for interrogation by the special unit. Bring the prisoners.
Meanwhile, having found the door in the trench completely barred, Sarah made her way back into the wasteland in search of Harry and me. Stumbling along in the thick fog, she failed to see a shaggy creature looming up behind her. Suddenly, a hand touched her shoulder. She spun round. The being that faced her was a Muto.
He's beautiful. No deformities. No imperfections.
She is a gnome. All gnomes are our enemies. Kill her now for what she's done to our kind.
Now, why? Why must we always destroy beauty? Why kill another creature because it is not in our image?
Kill her! It is the law. All gnomes must die. They are our enemies. And if you won't, I will.
Something over there.
That's a patrol. Very close. Let's get away from here.
Oh, no, they're too near. If you move, they'll see you.
They're coming this way. I'm going, come on!
Oh, I tell you, they'll see you. Stay where you are. Stand where you are and don't move! Ah! You're mute. What a waste of good ammunition. There's a couple more of them. Hold it. If they're not too badly mutated, maybe I'll be able to use them. They still need expendable labor for the rocket loader.
Sarah and the Muto Severin were taken away. Their captors were Thals, the deadly enemy of the Khaled people who held Harry and me prisoner.
I want these two screened and passed to Ronson for full interrogation.
Yes, sir.
Prisoners' belongings.
Good. Well, now he's got any chance of a cup of tea?
What?
Or coffee. My friend and I have had a very trying experience. Haven't we had a trying experience, Harry?
Very trying, Doctor. Step into the security scan.
But no tea.
Let me point out to you that you have no rights whatsoever. I have full authority to torture and kill any prisoner who does not comply absolutely with my orders. That is your first and last warning.
No tea, Harry.
You're cleared. Move forward. You, next. Scan detects power source. Located below prisoner's left elbow. Remove object from prisoner's left wrist.
You can't have that. That bracelet could have no possible use as a weapon.
It remains with the other confiscated items.
Get me the president, please.
Mr. President, our patrol is under attack. We don't know by whom. As a precautionary measure, I would like to launch intercept fighters.
Why do you think that's highly inadvisable in view of the delicacy of our situation?
You're quite right, Baltar. Commander, as a precautionary measure, I insist upon restraint. If this turns out to be an encounter with some outlaw traffic, we could jeopardize the whole cause of peace by displaying fighters when we are so close to our rendezvous.
Mr. President, two of my starfighters are under armed attack.
By forces unknown. You are not to launch until the situation is more clear.
Sir, may I at least urge you to bring the fleet to a state of alert?
I will consider that. Thank you, Commander.
You'll consider it. You'll consider it?
All right.
I'm sorry, Commander. It's just that... Well...
What?
The patrol is under the command of Captain Apollo.
Well, if I can't have confidence in my firstborn son, whom can I depend on?
Commander, Zach is with him. It's his first patrol.
Pursued and greatly outnumbered by Cylon fighters, Lieutenant Zach tries vainly to reach the Galactica. But his disabled Viper has lost half of its power.
Come on, baby, give me all you got. Blue Flight 2 in trouble. Request emergency approach. Patrol the fleet! Patrol the fleet! I need help!
What was that?
That was my son, Mr. President.
Buzzer shield, now! Launch fighters! All batteries commence fire.
All fire control stations, manned and operational.
The swarm of Cylon fighters reaches the Galactica and the other battle stars and engages the defending Vipers in a fierce battle.
Sir, they're off. Fighters launched, sir.
Are the other ships able to launch their fighters?
Negative, sir.
Lord help us.
Captain, we have to know how many base ships we're dealing with.
No base ships. You must be mistaken, Captain. Fighters couldn't function this far from Cylon without base ships.
No base ships.
They don't carry enough fuel. Just fighters, maybe 1,000.
How do you account for that, Apollo?
We picked up an empty tanker on our scanner. It's my guess the Cylons used it to refuel for the attack after flying to that point from wherever their base ships are.
Why operate this far from Cylon without base ships when it isn't necessary? They would have been well out of our range at the old moon.
Unless it was necessary for them to be somewhere else.
Get me the president!
Hey, Starbuck, it's dangerous around here.
Mr. President, I request permission to leave the fleet. I have reason to suspect our home planets may face imminent attack.
How could I have been so completely wrong? I have led the entire human race to ruin.
Atlantean Death Squadron, attack.
In the midst of the battle, the Cylons concentrate their attack on the Battlestar Atlantean, which carries the Federation President.
Oh, my God.
Commander, our long-range scanners have picked up Cylon base ships. At grid 035, 126, and 258. That puts them well within striking range of the planets Virgum, Sagittaria, and...
Yes, and Caprica.
Was Bowman really dead? And what secrets lay behind the strange black monolith? The mysterious slab of unknown material that Bowman had reported hovering near Jupiter.
My God! It's full of stars!
To find out what went wrong, a new spacecraft, Discovery 2, was being built to travel to Jupiter and find out what had happened to Discovery 1 and to explore the monolith. But Discovery 2 would not be finished for several years. Heywood Floyd, the world-famous astronomer and planner of the Discovery 1 mission, would be heading this new mission. Floyd was working at an observatory in New Mexico when his close friend, Dmitry Moiseevich, Russia's leading astronomer, came to him with startling news.
Heywood, I just had word that our spaceship Leonov
will be ready to leave for Jupiter in 3 months. Even though our two countries are close to war, we scientists should work together. So I am offering you and your crew a chance to join our mission. We admit that we do not know how to work your HAL 9000 computer. And after all, Discovery is American property.
That's good of you and your government, Dimitri, said Floyd. But my government would prefer that we go alone on Discovery, too.
At about the time that the Leonov was finished, Floyd's calculations reveal some startling data. Discovery 1 was losing its orbit around Jupiter and would crash into Io, one of Jupiter's moons, before Discovery 2 could rescue it. So, plans were made immediately for a joint Russian and American crew to head for Jupiter. With Floyd were Dr. Chandra, the inventor of HAL, and Dr. Walter Kernow, the chief engineer of both Discovery ships. There were 6 Russian cosmonauts and scientists in the Leonov's crew, plus their woman commander, Captain Tanya Kirbuk. As the Leonov left Earth on the brink of nuclear war, both the Americans and Russians wondered if there would be an Earth to return to. Once the Leonov's rockets had put it on its course to Jupiter, the 3 Americans entered the medical bay. The Russian doctor gave them an injection, which put them into a deep sleep. They would be awakened a year later as the ship approached Jupiter. 11 months later, Floyd found himself slowly awakening.
Are we there yet?
He asked.
No,
replied Captain Kirbuk.
We have uncovered some strange readings coming from Europa, one of Jupiter's moons.
In the wardroom, Floyd sat around a table with the Russians, examining the data. All eyes were on him as he announced,
If this data is correct, then there is something down on Europa. And that something is life.
The data is correct,
confirmed one of the Russian scientists.
In that case, we will send down a probe,
announced Captain Kirbuk. In the data bay, Officer Orlov worked the remote controls for the probe. It exited the Leonov and headed down to the surface of Europa. The crew gathered around the computer screens to watch the probe descend. Its television cameras sent back pictures showing that there was something inside one of the icy craters on that moon. The cameras began to focus on a large, gray-green mass.
Good grief!
Shouted Kirbuk.
Something is alive down there!
At that moment, a giant bolt of lightning from Europa raced past the Leonov heading toward Jupiter. A blinding flash filled the TV screens and then turned to static.
The probe has been destroyed,
gasped Officer Olaf.
What a tragic accident,
cried Kirbuk. Floyd shook his head.
It was not an accident. It has something to do with that monolith. It's a warning. A warning for us to stay away from Europa.
But they had to press on. There was not enough time to stay and send another probe down to Europa, even if they had wanted to. So, the Leonov continued into orbit around Jupiter, where they sighted a darkened Discovery, tumbling end over end like a cheerleader's baton. Hanging suspended over it, like a giant ceiling in space, was a huge black monolith over 1 mile long.
By your command.
Speak, Centurion.
All base ships are now in range to attack the colonies.
The final annihilation of the life form known as man. Let the attack begin.
The Cylons spring their trap. The colonial fleet is too far away to help, and the undefended colonies are easy prey to a treacherous attack. An attack so vicious and so devastating, the human race would never forget it.
Please move! The building's gonna topple!
Aboard the Galactica, they watch helplessly on their monitors as their homes, their loved ones, their entire civilization are utterly destroyed.
Oh, Zach. And all they trusted us to protect them, and we... Oh.
Cylon baseships on long-range scanner, launching to all outer planets.
No hope, Commander.
About set to Terra.
Planet's in flames, Commander.
Have my shuttlecraft prepared, please.
Shuttlecraft?
Going down on the surface, Caprica.
Commander, that is out of the question. If the Cylon scanner should pick
you
up...
You will continue to rendezvous with the survivors of the fleet.
I'll take you, my fighter. You're the last surviving member of the Council, Father. If we should run into a Cylon attack ship, at least you'll have a chance.
I insist on that, Commander.
Very well.
Core systems transferring control to probe craft. Launch when ready.
The prisoners are to be given into the custody of Senior Researcher Ronson. Here. Take this with you. Move!
Who are you? Where are you from?
It's a long story.
And tell me.
Do you have any inkling of the theory of space dimension correlated to relative time?
Atlas wishes all members of the elite scientific corps to assemble in the main laboratory immediately.
Our session will have to wait. Davros is coming.
Your chief scientist.
He is our supreme commander. When he calls a full meeting like this, he obviously has something of the greatest importance to tell us.
Well, I shall be delighted to meet him.
Stand up and keep quiet.
As silence fell over the room, a door slid open and Davros emerged. A huddled, ancient figure seated in a self-powered wheelchair, not unlike the base of a Dalek. From it protruded masses of tubes and wires, all attached to Davros' body. A complete life support system.
If I may have your attention. For some time, I have been experimenting with the Mark III project. Details and modifications will be distributed later. However, I am anxious that you should see immediately the remarkable results that I have achieved. And to that end, I have arranged this demonstration.
A Dalek. What? Dalek. Very primitive, but undeniably a Dalek.
You're mistaken. It's a Mark III travel machine.
You say so.
Halt. Turn left, move forward.
That's magnificent. He's perfected voice control.
Turn right. Move forward and circle left. You will agree, I think, that voice control represents an enormous step forward. However, the best is yet to come. Neither. Our machine is now equipped with a weapon for self-defense. Now, I am going to turn the machine over to total self-control. It will be entirely independent of all outside influences. A living, thinking, self-supporting creature.
We must fight back.
Yes, we are going to fight back, but not here. Not now. Not in the colonies. Not even in this star system. Let the word go forth to every man, woman, and child who survived this Holocaust. Tell them to set sail at once in every assorted vehicle that will carry them. And the word went forth to every outpost of human existence. And they came. The Aries, the Geminis, the Virgos, the Scorpios, the Pisons, and the Sagittarians. In all, 220 ships, representing every colony, color, and creed in the star system. Might have one more chance, but first it would have to survive the Alliance, the elements, and the unknown dark and sinister threats that would lie ahead, like the traitor, Baltar.
Their destruction is complete.
Our forces have taken prisoners near the space drone. They tell of survivors who escaped in ships.
What ships? How far can they go? If a handful of survivors did indeed escape, they would have neither fuel nor food for a prolonged voyage.
The information is not complete. It is offered in exchange for life.
And what is the standing order for humans from your imperious leader?
Extermination.
Then carry out your orders. If they exist, they're doomed.
Next. The crew built a bridge between the two ships for easy passage back and forth. Dr. Chandra immediately began working with Hal in order to uncover the mystery of what happened 9 years earlier. He also had to erase Hal's memory of killing the astronauts before he could reprogram the computer to control all of Discovery's functions for its return to Earth. While Dr. Chandra was spending hours in the Discovery, Captain Kirbuk decided to send Brailovsky out again, this time in a work pod to investigate the surface of the giant monolith. Dr. Floyd argued that it would be wiser to send an unmanned probe.
That's not a piece of junk out there. It has a purpose, and we don't know what that purpose is.
But Kirbuk wanted to prove how brave the Russians were. So the man probe went. After all, she was the boss of the mission. While this argument was taking place between Floyd and Kirbuk in space, arguments between their two governments on Earth were getting angrier. War was getting closer and closer.
Destroyed him.
So you think the saving of a worthless life more important than the progress we have made? My creature showed a natural desire, an instinct to destroy, and you interceded. You will be punished for this.
Davros, I'm sorry. But I believe that these prisoners, they could be extremely valuable. By all means, when I finish my questions, let the machine do what it likes with them, but But I do need to interrogate them further.
You will be punished for insubordination. In the meantime, you may question the prisoners until first light. After that, they will be used to resume the experiment. This meeting is ended.
Stanford, very scary.